Amen. Moving quickly into our lesson this morning. And everybody say potential. Potential. You know, I've got this cell phone here. I've got it on silent. And I'll be honest with you. There's a few things that I do with this cell phone. I text people. I talk with people. And then I FaceTime with my grandbabies. This is how we connect because they're thousands of miles away. It might as well should be because they're gone. They're there. I'm here. And so we FaceTime. Sometimes at 6:30 in the morning when they get up. Sometimes you just never know. They could FaceTime me right now. I think I was preaching here a while back and Asher tried calling me. But these are things this phone is good for. I read the news off of this phone. I keep up with, I used to keep up with sporting announcements, but I'm having a bad year, and so I've sort of just, you know, put that to the side. But mainly that's what I do. This morning, I was telling Sister Dillard, this morning I talked to 10 pastors before I came to the church this morning. We prayed with them. We encouraged them for their services today, that the power of God would move over their congregations, and prayed the prayer of faith, and we just encouraged each other. I do that. These are some of the things I do. But do you know that I am not even close to using this device to its fullest potential? I might be using 5% of what this device can do. It's crazy to think that this cell phone that I'm holding in my hand has apps for nearly every kind of thing that you could think of. Now, some of you may use your device to keep up with your doctor's appointments or, you know, prepare your bills to be paid, auto draft. I guess that's what they call that. And there's a lot of things this device can do, but what good is this device if I am only using 5% of what it can actually do? It's not useless, but why would I just want to use it for 5%? There are many more things today that we could point out about just this device and its potential. But then we move on to the Word of God. The Word of God. We've got to ask ourselves, are we using this Word to its fullest potential? Somebody said, I wish there was a book on raising kids. Said I would have learned a long time ago. Well, there is a book that is a book of principles that if you will follow them, it will put kingdom principles in the life of your family. Won't solve all of your problems because they're going to make decisions that they shouldn't make. But at least you have a book that can help and teach and guide. Romans tells us to access the unused royalty within us. Paul had been in prison in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, chased out in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And so he was laughed at in Athens in Acts chapter 17, regarded as a fool in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 23. He was even stoned in Galatia in Acts chapter 14. But listen to the heartbeat of Paul. He remained eager to preach the gospel in Rome. Yes, we know most of the story here. But he never got to Rome until the very near end of his life. That delay is probably the reason why we have the book of Romans. It was written in advance to a group of believers that he had never met. But when he traveled to Rome, he just didn't go there because he wanted to be a tourist or some, you know, somebody on vacation. He went there as a prisoner. Can you imagine, God, I want you to use me to my fullest potential. Okay, here, Paul, I'm going to just put you in jail. And you're going to have fun in jail, Paul. That's where you're going. You're going to the Roman jailhouse. Just get ready. And so when he arrives in Rome as a prisoner, but he preached to the guards, the soldiers. Why would he do this? Because in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You see, the Bible is not just information, it becomes life. This book is more than just an informational source. But this Bible that I am teaching from this morning is the word of life. And we will follow its precepts and we will follow its guidelines and we will follow these things. Ladies and gentlemen, we will receive the word of life. In John chapter 6, verse number 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want to face devils on 5% of what I'm using. But I want to face the world. I want to face the obstacles that life throws at me using 100% of what this device can give us. That's the reason you will find in this book, greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. What is in me? It's the power of God. It is the wisdom of God. Amen. It's the power of this word when it comes to life. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This is the word of life. Paul is saying, I just don't want to go through life using just a little bit of the potential that God has given to me. I want us to understand, we are not just an apostolic church sitting here on John B. Dennis Highway so people can come drive by and see if the grass is mowed or not. We're not just a church sitting right here so that way when people flip through the newspaper and they get to the church section, they'll see Christian Life Center of the Tri-Cities and look and say, hey, you know, there's another church here in this town. We're not placed in here. You were not called to this assembly. God didn't pick you up and move you hundreds of miles back in the 80s, in the 90s, and get you to this city so you could just come in, amen, sit here, and just have a good feel. But the reason God has pulled us from different backgrounds, from different areas of life, from different cultures of life, the reason that he has pulled us together is so that we could live to our full potential to change the world one soul at a time. This is who we are, and we're not ashamed of the gospel that God has placed in us and given to us. In 1 John 1 and 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, I enjoy hearing about your daily hobbies. I enjoy hearing about what God has done for you and where he's brought you from and where he's taken you to. But what good is all of that if we're not living to the fullest potential that God has chosen for us to live in? We have got to live in this call. I want you to hear the voice of God today. It is the will of God for every adult that's in this room, every teenager that's in this room, every child that's in this room. You ought to be hell's worst nightmare when you open your eyes every morning and hell looks at you and says, uh-oh, they've made up in their mind today. I'm going to live to my fullest potential. I'm not going to rob myself of what God has for me to do and to become. Amen. Let me say it like this. A lot of us do not feel that we can live up to the fullest potential because we have our inadequacies. We have our shortcomings. We have intimidation factors to be placed into. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I act bad to the bone if you don't know it now. Man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. That's what you see. But I struggle with what you cannot see. Let me name a few for you so you'll hear the heartbeat of your pastor. I'm not that educated. I struggled in school, and because of No Child Left Behind, it's not a joke, for real, I stand here today a high school graduate. That's okay. I've never went to Bible college. I admire these guys. We've got Purpose Institute. I encourage you to join. Get with Brother Griever today and sign up for this next semester. But the reason I don't go to Bible college is because I struggle passing exams. You're just thankful that I'm legal today driving my car. Because there was a time that I might not have been so. But it took me a while, and I got it accomplished. Okay? I know these things. I know these things. And it intimidates me when I get around people that I know that are much more intelligent than I. That's intimidating to me. But when I stand amongst the brethren that's got the degrees, that can preach the paint off the walls, and then here I stand, smiling on the outside, scared to death on the inside, they're going to ask me something. I stand there, and God says, Jeremy, if you will live up to the fullest potential that I have put in you, what you cannot do, I'll put an anointing on your life. I'll put an anointing on your life. And that anointing on your life is going to elevate you to places that intelligence cannot take you. That those degrees cannot put you in. I'm going to put you in a place that when you arrive there, people are going to look and they're going to say, hey, there was something about that individual. The hand of God is upon them. For you see, I don't have to say anything out under the anointing of God. I'll let the anointing talk. I'll let the Spirit talk. But what I've got to do is I've got to live up to the potential that God gave me. And then God's going to, boom, he's going to propel you into a place that you have never been. And I'm teaching to the adult class today. If you're waiting to get it all together and you're waiting for the ducks to line up in a row, it's probably never going to happen. But when you fall in love with this book and you get the word of life alive and well in your spirit, you cannot be stopped by a man. You cannot be stopped by hell. You cannot be shortchanged because you don't have it all together here. The anointing, I'm teaching to somebody right now. You've got potential. You've got potential in there. Let God use it. Let God pull it out of you. Let God pull it out of you. Oh, for you see, if our greatest need wouldn't needed to have been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, God would have sent us a banker. If our greatest need would have been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Woo, you hear that? Do you feel that? I'm telling you right now, I don't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's by the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost that you hear the voice of God saying, live up to your potential and watch God do the rest in your life.
I'm telling you, there's soul winners in this room right now. There are soul winners in this room right now. There's world changers in this room right now. Come on, there's givers of life to people in this room right now. Don't you dare second guess who you are. You've got potential living on the inside of you. And you rise up and say, if they needed an entertainer, God would have sent it. And if they needed this, God would have sent it. But I'm going to tell you what God knew that they needed. They knew that they needed a Savior. He came, bled, and died. Amen. But he rose again. And he left us a comforter. And he left us the Holy Ghost. And now the Holy Ghost dwells in you. So you're not just some dirt bag walking around. You are breathed on by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost says you got potential. The Holy Ghost says you have potential. God is looking for some adults in Kingsport, Tennessee that'll rise up on this Bible class Sunday morning. Says, God, I don't have much, but such as I have, I give unto thee. I am ready for you to use the potential in my life. Oh, if you believe it, clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh, John chapter 10, verse number 10 teaches us, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have a life, not information, not an entertainer, not the secular world, but I have come that you might have a life and that they might have it more abundantly. He just don't want to give you a little bit of potential. He wants it to overflow. He's going to give an abundantly amount of favor on our lives. I'm going to tell you right now, don't you ever think us Pentecostals, apostolics, are the weakest people walking around. I'm going to tell you right now, I feel this in my spirit. We have been blessed with doctors. We have been blessed with students that are going to school to be attorneys. We've been blessed with educated people in our congregation. God is bringing them. God is saving them. God is filling them with the Holy Ghost. And they are coming to this church. And I'm going to tell you, when I walk among them sometimes, it's like, oh, I'm a little afraid. I'm a little scared. But right now, I could tackle hell with a water pistol, and it don't matter if you go with me, because I'm under the anointing of the Spirit and I'm living up to the potential that God has called me to be. And God is wanting that out of you. And God's wanting that out of you. And God's wanting that out of you. The thief has come to rob us. The thief has come to take us. But greater is he that is in me than all the world that is against me. We don't need no more of this down talking, this negative speaking. We need people to say, hey, I can do this. I got this. God's got me. I'm living up to my potential. Living up to my potential in the Holy Ghost. Oh, now, let me pause for just a moment to say this. I got carried away, and so I got to hurry here. This is the device using about 5% of what this device can do. I know that it has more than what I'm using. See, that's the crazy thing. I know that it's got more potential than what I'm using, but yet I don't use it anyway because I don't feel that I've got a need to use it. And so here's the issue in the apostolic church. We already know more than we are doing. Oh, let me help somebody. You know more than a lot of people already about how to serve God, how to live for God, how to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You already know the potential that's out there. You know that when you walk through the supermarket and there is sin and perversion around you, that you can walk through there like knife running through some butter, because you just walk on through that and watch God protect you and put angels around you. I'm telling you right now, you can say whatever you want to, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And when I walk into a spirit of perversion like that, I don't fear. I'm not afraid. There's angels on my left. There's angels on my right. They went before me and they're going to follow me as I walk through that. I am not scared of the perversion of this world. I already know that God is. Why are we not exercising to our full potential? Well, Brother Namesworth, I trust in the Lord. We got to do more than just trust in the Lord. We've got to act on those promises that's in this book. We've got to start taking it to its fullest potential. When you speak the word of deliverance, the word of deliverance has been revealed. The word of deliverance has been spoken. And when you speak the word of deliverance, it's out of your mouth. Now it's up to that individual to act on it. I'm going to tell you what, when I speak the name of Jesus and I take spiritual dominion and authority over that sickness and that disease and that problem or that marital issue or that child issue, I expect there to be change immediately. Hey, let me tell you, Robbie's here today, standing back there at the back. He came up, I believe it was last Sunday. It might have been 2 weeks ago, but he came up with a knot on his neck. There was a knot on his neck. And he came up, and I'm going to be the first to tell you, well, God done healed him of cancer. He got a clean bill of health. Now there's a knot pumped up on the back of his neck. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do? What we're going to do with it? The same thing we did before. I laid hands on it, and I prayed for it, and I spoke the word of faith. Guess what? The knot has been gone. It's disappeared. He told me it's no longer there. I said, let me check for myself. I laid my hand on his neck. The knot was gone. And you say, come on, there's no way I could do that. But I'm living this book to its fullest potential, that when I speak the word, I expect God to do something. Not that he has to, but his word says he can. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we don't need no more information because we're not using what we've already got. We need somebody to live to that potential. And when you live to that potential, well, let me say it like this. We don't need no more condemnation. We need transformation to the knowledge that we already know. It's in this book. Greater is he that's in you. You shall lay hands on the sick, they recover. Oh, when you speak the name of Jesus, it teaches us this. There is one God, and the devil believes and fears and trembles. Come on, that's the word. If we already got hell shaken, then why are we letting hell shake us? Pull out your Acts and 2:38 and have a party. Man, make it go. Blow and roll, brother. Get it? Instead of hell chasing us, why aren't we chasing hell? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a devil chaser. I don't just chase them on Sunday. I chase them every day of the week. I want them to know that I've got power. I may not have the ability in the flesh. Oh, but I got earth shaking, hell rattling, heaven open abilities when I step in my potential in the spirit. I'm telling you right now, hell shaking because it knows we about to have some Holy Ghost outpouring, apostolic, holy rolling, life changing, transformation, devil chasing church. Yes, we're about to have that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let me hurry. I got a few minutes.
Paul talks about people who had all kinds of information about God, but they did not allow this truth to work in their lives. Let me say it like this. You know God's a healer, and when you're in pain, it's hard to believe that God's a healer. So you get your brother, your sister, your spouse. They say the word of faith. They pray the prayer of faith. And they rebuke it in the name of Jesus. That moment, even though you might feel the pain, you start praising God and thanking God for what he has done. Because if we're not careful, we will doubt ourselves out of the word that's been spoken. And so we know that God can, but we've got to use the potential of the word of God. I know that our military can take out countries at the snap of a finger because the military in the United States is powerful. One of the most powerful, probably the most powerful military ever. We have it right here in the United States. But what good is those soldiers and those bombs and those big machines that they have created? What good is that if they're stuck in the garage and hell is hitting us wide open? We're not living up to our fullest potential. We're sitting there. We're being weak. We're being intimidated. I'm going to tell you right now. I told you a little bit about myself. I had a man yesterday at men's conference walk up to me and pointed his finger in my face and said, "Thus saith the Lord, stop being intimidated by people." Come on, God knows your full potential. God knows what you can do. God knows if the military with one just in a few hours can do a lot to the enemy. It's no good in the garage. It's no good when we've got it tied up, chained up, locked up, and we will not allow it to move. But Romans chapter 1 describes it very well. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 22, it says, the first part of the scripture says, professing themselves to be wise. Is it up here? Yeah, there it is. They became fools. Somebody said, "Brother James, are you taking this out of context?" Well, it makes it for some good preaching right now. If we are professing to be wise, but I'm not using 80%, 90% of this device, how wise am I? Hello? I've got it. I've paid for it. Why am I not using it? That's the reason why. If you got a car that'll lay you back in the seat, you need to blow that trash right out the tailpipe. It's like your wife says, "Oh, don't do it, don't do it. Hey, baby, God gave me this. I'm going to use it." There's no need in having the power at your fingertips and you're intimidated to use it. That's what kills revival. God says, "Hey, they don't want revival. I'll just pick up and go somewhere else." That's the reason why. God knows when you don't like people sitting around you and you don't want to be tied in. You know, well, bless God, there's plenty of churches here in town. They can go somewhere else. But God's drawing them here, you know. And when you get the mentality of us four and no more, then only God can do that, because he's not going to go against our will. He's not going to go, against that. He's allowing us to live the life. Why in the name of God would God give us 600 plus seats availability for that, up to 700 people to sit in this sanctuary? Why in the name of God would God give Pastor Thorpe the vision in 1977 to build a building that those back walls back there can come out, and we could set 200 more on top, and if we really pushed it, we could knock the bottom wall out and set about the same? Why did God give him that vision for us not to reach our fullest potential? Well, Brother Thart's passed on. He's in glory. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, these died not having seen the promise, but they still had faith that it was going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be to my fullest potential, and I'm going to pray every day that God leads me and guides me, so when those doors open, we are ready to walk through it. Negative talk, doubting in faith, we got to put that behind us. We got to live up to the potential that God has called this church. Oh, come on, adults. We can preach it to our hyphens. We can teach it to our children, but you are the backbone. You are the core of this church, and I've come to speak a prophetic word in this Bible class into you, that if God give it to us, that means he wants us to live up to our potential. He didn't give us this so we could paint it every 4 or 5 years. He didn't give it to us so we could meet here and think about the glory of God. He gave it to us so we could live to our fullest potential. So stop trying to hold yourself back. Get up out of your seat. Get in the highways and the byways. Get your faith off of your pocketbook and put it in your mouth and speak to the enemy. And my double hoshata, this is the day that I will rejoice. I have got potential, not only potential to win people, but to be hell's worst nightmare. Come on, I introduce you to hell today. This is what it looks like. It fights against us. It pushes against us. But I'm living up to my potential. 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 That's what I'm going to do. Oh, God. Woo, sorry. See, it's hard for me to slow down. I'm sorry. I know I'm taking you by surprise this morning, but just let me go ahead and affirm you. Next week, get your coffee before you get here. They profess to be wise, but because of the lack of vision, we become fools. And then God reveals his wrath against sin. But two ways a lot of times go unannounced. The law of sowing and reaping. And the wrath of abandonment, which is removing the restraints that God is wanting us to remove, to get out of the way, to let go. The scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. How do we do that? It's just simple. Is that Brother Griever sometimes, because I depend on him a lot for this kind of stuff, and he'll say, oh, yeah, you can do that, and he'll flip to it, and boom, you know, he's got it done in 30 seconds, and here I'm about ready to backslide because I've been doing it 5 minutes, you know. So just throw it all away. What happens is that if you don't use it, you will lose it. What am I? I'm not going to lose my phone. I'm not going to lose what I know to do on it, but what I will do is I will lose the knowledge that it is capable of doing more than what I am using it for. And so I will handicap myself to just what I want it to do. And this is happening in churches all over the world. They change the truth of God into a lie and worship the Creator more than the Creator, because the knowledge that they are using is what they can do. You cannot heal yourself, but you can talk yourself out of a miracle. I'm going to say that one again. You cannot heal yourself, but you can talk yourself out of a miracle. You cannot change the situation around you. Only God can do that. But you can make the situation worse by not depending on God to help you through it. And what takes place is that I know it today that what this phone is capable of doing. But in 5 years from now, if I don't keep that in my memory, what I'm going to do is I'm going to argue with somebody one day and say, no, that ain't right. That can't do that. No, there's no way. And so what I have done is I've become into a place of delusion. I've come to a place of, I believed a lie, and now I cannot comprehend the truth because I have stayed in the same place for so long. All behavior is based on a belief. So I'm believing that this is all of the potential that I actually have. And God says, Jeremy, I've got so much more for you. You think this is revival? You think this is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Because somebody shakes and bakes on Sunday, they get dunked in the holy water. Jeremy, somebody leaves here filled with a, you think that's all I can do? And God says, I want to heal people. I want to deliver people. I want to take the worst of people in this city and change their life and turn them around because they have potential. Jeremy, I want to give you homes that will be given to this church so you can make houses for the homeless to live in. Jeremy, I just don't want your church down at Kitchen of Hope feeding people once a month on a Saturday. I want to give you a kitchen that you can open it at 9 in the morning and you can have dinner in the evening time at 6. Come on, I want to do so much more than what you are comprehending right now, but I've got to get you to a place of your potential. Oh, those are just a few things. Oh, I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, Barney has nothing on this preacher you're listening to this morning. I got an imagination that will blow your mind. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The fire of God's going to fill this place, and there's going to be news people sitting out on our parking lot when we leave this place wanting to know what was going on, because it's been happening every Sunday for the last 30 years. This revival's going to outlive Jeremy. This vision's going to outlive me, because I'm going to live to my potential. And when you walk through that back door and you see my big nose sticking up right here, you can honestly say, man, he lived up to his potential. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. You hear this, preacher? You ain't seen nothing yet. But you have the same potential. You have it. You have it. How do we do it? We start with a mind change. With a mind change. I told my wife, I said, I've eaten too many sweets over the last week. Went to Pennsylvania. I think I ate at every ice cream parlor they had. And I was proud of myself. I'm going to tell you how you do this. You go to these places and they'll say, would you like a free taste test? Yeah, on 5 different spoons. I'll take butter pecan, chocolate mint. You just go down through there. It's a good way to save money. I'm just kidding. But I might have done that before. I'm telling myself, come Monday morning, it's back to cheese and lettuce, slick. Yeah, that's what it's got to be. You got to go back. But because you put on 2 or 3 pounds, you got to get it off. You know how that started? Well, it started by me stepping on the scales, and my mind said, oh. And I said, I know. So it starts in the mind. You've got to be in a place of discipline so the mind can speak to the heart, so the heart can push you to your fullest potential. So it starts in the mind. The Word of God instructs us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. Here it is. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. It all starts here. When I got up this morning, said, I'm going to church, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, and people will be changed. I done started speaking it when I got up this morning. Sure enough, I put it on social media. I know y'all get tired of reading my posts, because all it says sometimes is miracles will happen today. Absolutely. I don't know if I've ever lived a day that a miracle didn't happen for me. Did I catch you by surprise? I'm going to tell you, I might not have recognized that miracle that day, but it was a miracle that I woke up. It's a miracle that I stayed that day in my right mind. Hell attacks me. Hell pushes at me. Hell wants to take me out. So I've got to stay in a mind frame of discipline. Jeremy, you are not of this world. Now live to your fullest potential. So why does God want us to start here? Is because the feelings are always the last thing to change. Our feelings is the last thing to change. When you know the truth, what will it do? It will make you free. Trying to change people's behavior without first getting them to change their beliefs and mind is a waste of time. The Bible term for changing our mind is repentance. You've got to repent every day. You may not do the Jesus shuffle and the boogie-woogie every day, but you better repent every day. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I got to repent several times a day. It's usually at the red light down there by Taco Bell. I do. I have to repent daily. God, help my mind. God, that thought went through my mind. Sometimes, you know, selfish things come through my mind. And sometimes there's somebody saying they got a need. I don't see that need just yet. And so I'm thinking, oh, I've got to go repent of that, because I want my mind to stay healthy so I can live to my fullest potential. You see, I know what it's like to be given up on. I know what it's like for your pastor to walk up to you and say, hey, I need to talk. And right in the middle of the sanctuary, we sit on the edge of the altar in front of the pulpit. And he looks at me and says, Jeremy, Jeremy, he said, you see that drum set back there, Bubba? There's your calling. Leading worship, there's your calling. But you'll never be a preacher, so why even try? Well, maybe God, I missed my calling. You know, I'm not 16 years old. Maybe I didn't hear from God. So we put it on a shelf. Go to drumming. Go to leading worship. But then somebody handed me a megaphone down at the courthouse on the county square. And the next thing I know, I'm preaching. I'm anointed. The Holy Ghost is flowing through me. People are running to hear the word of God. I know what it's like for my potential that God has for me to be the thumb put down on it. And do you know, I'm 47 years old, and there are people today, if they could take me out, they would do it. But I'm not scared anymore, because my mind says, Jeremy, you're called of God. You've been chosen of God. And I've got you right where I want you, son. I've got the hand of God on your life. Now live up to your potential. Live up to your potential. And I have to pray now. I confess too much. My wife says I talk too much. But I've got 55 seconds to tell you this. I have to pray every day. God, keep my spirit right. Because what I want to do is drive back to Dyersburg, Tennessee, open the back door of that church and walk in and say, hey, how you like me now? So I got to keep my spirit right, because as fast as God give me what I've got, that's about how fast he can take it away. I don't have to prove to any of them that God has called and chosen me. God will fight my battles for me if I hold my peace. Come on, that's it. Lift your hands and praise him. Oh, God, I'm asking you to release blessing upon this congregation today. Oh, we're leaving here with potential in our mind. We're leaving here full of the Holy Ghost. We're leaving here with our minds made up. God, you're going to do something miraculous in my life. I take spiritual dominion and authority over that intimidating devil right now that's talking God's people out of blessing, miracle, divine calling, and anointing and ministry. I declare the heavens to open and potential to rest upon them and their minds to be renewed and restored right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do it now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, God's potential is in you.